today is found in the book of Exodus, the fourth chapter, where we left off speaking to you last week of how God was calling Moses to this wonderful work of sending him into Egypt to bring the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt into the land of Canaan, and how God put into his hand signs that he should take back with him and prove unto the people that God had called him and sent him unto them with this message that he was going to deliver them from their bondage and from their servitude. He gave him three signs. The first sign was that he should cast a rod down and it would become a serpent. The second sign was that he should put his hand into his bosom and it would become leprous, and then he should stick it back in again and it would become as it had been before. And the third sign would be that if they did not believe these first two signs, he was to take water and pour it out on dry ground and it would become blood. Now, these signs God gave unto Moses to perform when he would arrive in the land of Egypt. But we find Moses very unwilling to go at this particular time. For he speaks unto the Lord and says, I am not eloquent as heretofore, neither since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Moses here complains of the lack of eloquence. He was not elegant. He had not the gift of oratory. He was not so precise in speaking. He was a man that had a wonderful wisdom given to him by God. He had a clear head, and he was a wonderful divine. Likewise, he spoke, and what he spoke was with power divine. It was to the point. But he did not clothe his speaking with elegance. This, he felt, was necessary for him to have should he go to Pharaoh and to the rulers that were in the court with him. He understood that these men would overrule him with their oratory and likewise their eloquence. And this, he thought, he lacked, and therefore he brought this forth as an excuse that he did not have this, and therefore he did not want to go. This man, Moses, he is in this respect like many of the servants of God who are called to go forth to speak in his name. They feel their insufficiency and a lack of value. God's mouth. This is a wonderful blessing, my givers.
you may likewise make vows, make resolutions, and say, I won't speak this way anymore. I'll try to keep my tongue from evil. But lo and behold, before you even know it, you are speaking again. You are sinning against God. And no man can control this tongue. Oh, my goodness, it is a mercy of God when God comes into our life. And gives us, in the beginning, to use our tongue, our mouth, to dishonor and to glory. Oh, if you know yourself, my goodness, and if God has begun this good work in your soul, and then you have vowed you that you wouldn't speak anymore. I made this vow to the beginning of my spirit tonight. Oh, I was so silent where before I spoke so freely and so terribly and sinned so terribly against God. And then people began to say, what's the matter? Why are you so silent? Why don't you speak? For fear that you will sin against God. And what a mercy when God begins to give us to speak and to tell of the wonderful grace that is manifested in our hearts when he begins to let us lift up himself as the glorious God who has granted us this wonderful blessing. Oh, my heavens, I wish that every one of you could experience this and that your tongues would be used to praise and to glorify God in this life. For most of the time, we are sinning with our tongue. We have our neighbor upon our tongue, and we have all sorts of worldly conversations coming out of our mouth, and nothing of it to God's honor or to God's glory. Oh, may God give you to be like Solomon says in Proverbs 3. I think he says, be not rash to bring anything forth before God. For God is in heaven, and thou art upon the earth, and let thy words be few. What a mercy that we have this on our mind when we begin a conversation, so that we say, Lord, keep the door of my lips from sinning against thee. It's a great blessing, though, that God has given us this faculty of speech. He says that in this verse. I, the Lord, have done it. And likewise, he says, I have made the deaf and dumb. And this, my hearers, is a great misery to people that are born into this world deaf and dumb. And many come into the world in this manner, and the only way that they can make people know what they mean is by sign language. What maketh you and I so different? Why were we not born that way? The goodness of God over us, that we are not deaf and not dumb, but that we can hear and that we can express our minds with our tongues. As such poor creatures, and there are numbers of them in the world, that they live in the world all by themselves. And now, my hearers, that God has brought this upon these people. I, the Lord, have done this. The judge is righteous. Speak of justice to every one of us. We have nothing to say. We are his creatures. He has formed us, and he has made us. And now, God, likewise, bless many in this state, spiritually, my goodness, deaf and dumb. How many have ears but hear not? And how many, likewise, are in this respect ignorant of the way of salvation? That they are likewise deaf to all warnings, to all admonitions, and they, likewise, are so dumb in a spiritual sense that they know not the way of salvation. That they have no mouth to teach or to
of the way that God leads his people in an experimental way. And many likewise are then spiritually deaf and dumb. Oh, what an awful thing to be this way. What a blessing, my goodness, that you and I are not that way. There is not one amongst us in this congregation that's deaf and dumb. How thankful we should be that we have none such even amongst our children. For what maketh us to differ if we bring children into the world than they are this way? It is God that has done this. And now it is likewise God that makes the singing and makes the blind. Oh, my goodness. But what another great blessing is the faculty of sight, so that we can see clearly, distinctly. It is true many have weak eyesight, but even glasses are helpful to sight. And when we get older, likewise we need glasses to read and to see better. But still, none of us, be thankful as a congregation. We don't have one blind amongst us. Isn't that the goodness of God that over us as a church, as a people? There are many that are coming into the world blind. Many, likewise, through accidents, receive blindness. But we have been exempted in this respect. Thanks be to God for his goodness over us, even providentially. But in a spiritual sense, my heavens, but then we are all sightless, blind. Oh, this is the way we come into this world. We are being blinded by the God of this world. We are blind to our misery, blind to God who stands over us, ready in his wrath and in his anger to smite us and to cast us away. We see this not. We have no knowledge of it. We have no fear of it, and we are unconcerned about it. Oh, what a sad condition this is, my hearers, to be sightless or blind in this respect. Oh, how terrible it is for a poor sinner to be blind physically, not to be able to see, to live in darkness all their life, never to be able to see the light of the day, the sun, the moon, the stars, never to see any of their relatives, never to see any of the beautiful flowers that we see at the present time blooming in our gardens. Oh, what an awful judgment it is to be blind, my hearers. And oh, why are not you and I so? We only have God to thank for this blessing that we have eyesight and can see these things. Do we realize it? Are we ever humbled under it? We take things for granted in this life. We have it, and it should be that way. Unless we meet some that have it not, and then the thought might strike us, why am I not like this poor creature? And it may lead us to be humble before God, a blessing. But oh, when we consider, my hearers, how many are blind spiritually and being blinded, not only by the God of this world, but likewise by blind guides. We have thousands of them in this country and round about us. That of which Jesus speaks, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. And how many are falling into the ditch in our times by being led in this way, being led on a wrong path, and being taught doctrine contrary to the way that God leads his people to salvation. Oh, another thing we should be so thankful for, my hearers, that we are not being blinded as these people are. Oh, it could be that you and I were born and brought up in such a denomination, and we wouldn't know any better either. We'd be fighting for the truth as they are in their estimation, and they're fighting for error. Oh, God, we thank that we are not being deceived and being blinded in this respect. Oh, may God open your eyes for your terrible state by nature. May he teach you your misery. May he teach you that there is a way of salvation in the presence open his mouth and that he would teach him what to say. My goodness, what could have been better for Moses than to hear this? He brought so many excuses, and this man, he was given the promise of that God would be with his mouth. I know there are some young men listening to me that are saying, if God ever came to me and called me to do these things and said he would be with my mouth, I would be ready to go. Was Moses ready to go? After all this conversation that he had with God, was he ready to go? No, my goodness, he was not. We find that he says unto the Lord, send by whom thou wilt send, but don't send me, in other words. Moses, he refuses in this result. He says to God, send somebody else. But this is the way Moses addressed God. And my hearers, this is not because of his weakness, not because of his insufficiency, no, because God had ruled this all out of the way with what he had promised him. But this was his nothingness, his obstinacy, his unwillingness, his backwardness to go. He says, send by whom thou wilt send. I'm sure that if God calls you to an office, be it a minister, be it an elder, if he ever opens your eyes for the responsibility of such an office, then you will be like Moses. In that respect, that you would wish that God would send somebody else. I must say myself, this is what I'm so troubled with every time I leave this church on a Sunday. I'm walking home on the street sometimes saying, Lord, send somebody else. I don't have any gifts. I don't know how to speak. Oh, who am I to stand in front of the congregation? I'm something like Moses. And now this is entirely wrong. I'm not justifying myself in speaking this way, my hearers, and I can't justify Moses either. For as I said at the beginning, when God calls a person, God is beforehand with such a person. God promises to be with such a person. And God will help such a person. And God likewise rewards such a person. Not for anything that that person is doing, but God gives blessing to those that willingly serve him. He meets them in the way. To those that think upon his name and those that remember him. And so he meets his servants likewise. And Moses here, he refuses obstinately to go. And God becomes angry. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. It makes God angry when people are unwilling to serve him, unwilling to do his bidding, unwilling to obey. Oh, my goodness. God did not become that angry that he rejected Moses. He could have taken him at his word. He could have said, well, you don't want to go, you stay here, then be a shepherd the rest of your life. I'll take somebody else. God did not do that. God is not of that kind of a mind. God is of one mind. He had chosen Moses, and Moses was the man that had to go. Even though he didn't want to go, and although he put up so much objections, it was God's will that was going to go. He was going to be overruled. And how did he overrule him? He overruled him by kindness, by mercy. He promised unto Moses that he had a brother by the name of Aaron. And he said unto him, I know that he shall speak well. And he shall come to thee, and thou shalt meet him. And he will be glad in his heart when he meets thee. And I will be with him and with thee. And I will be with his mouth and with thy mouth. And I will teach thee what thou shalt do. God then here promises to give Moses an assistant. And who is his assistant? Aaron.
but they say that Moses was married to this Midianite. You know, she came from Midian, and she was a Midianitish woman. And now whether a circumcision was in practice amongst the Midianites, they say
yes, because they were descendants of Abraham. But it appears that this woman did not like to have her son circumcised. And Moses, he loved this woman, and he went along with her in this. Now this is something that's contrary, my hearers, to the word of God. We should never let the love of a relative leave us from doing our duty to God and our love to God. God is above all. We should love him above all things. He has said it in his word that he who loveth father or mother, son or daughter, more than me, is not worthy of me. We find in the Old Testament that Eli, he honored his sons more than God, and these sons were wicked sons, Eli and Hophni. These sons, they were slain because of their wickedness. And we should never leave off a duty because of a relative. We should obey God. This is what Moses did, according to the commentary. He humored this woman in this respect. And now God came to him because he had not circumcised his son. God had called him to a wonderful office. And he was to be an example unto the Israelites. And in duty, obedient to God, he was to circumcise his children. But here he had not done this. And therefore God came and sought to slay him. And we find that Zipporah, his wife, she took a sharp stone and she circumcised her son. The woman did it, not Moses. She did it. And she called him a bloody husband because of circumcision. Thou art unto me a bloody husband, she says. They say that she said this in thankfulness to God. She submitted to this ordinance of circumcision. She circumcised the child, and she dedicated it unto God in this respect. And she was thankful to God that he did not slay her husband, Moses, for he sought to slay him. And because she obeyed and gave in, she said this because he was a bloody husband unto her because of the circumcision. This is the definition that the commentary gives. Accept it as I've explained it to you. This is as far as anyone that I've read of can explain it. Many good writers have written much about this to give a clear interpretation of this text, which is very difficult. And now Moses, he goes into the land of Egypt, and he goes with Aaron his brother, and he comes before the children of Israel. And when he is before the elders of Israel, he tells them what had taken place. He spoke unto them how that God had met him back on the Mount of God, had appeared unto him in the burning bush, and had spoken unto him that he had surely seen the affliction of his people in Israel, and that their cry had come up before him, and that he was now come down to deliver them, and that he had sent Moses to deliver the people from under the slavery of the Egyptians. And they showed these wonders and miracles unto these elders of the Jewish people, and these people, they received the word of Moses as the word of God. They bowed down and worshiped God, it says. What a mercy, my hearers. God had said it to Moses, they will believe thee. He didn't think they would, but they did. They received it then as out of God's mouth. Oh, my hearers, have you ever received something from God in this respect and related it to others, and they likewise have received it from your mouth as the word of God, as the truth of God? Oh, it's a mercy, my hearers, if we may meet each other and speak with each other of the wonderful grace that God has performed in our hearts and lives, and that there may be a union, that there may be felt love to each other. This was what was experienced by Aaron and Moses when they met each other. There was such a unity with the two brothers that they kissed each other, and they were both given to believe that God would be with them. And this, my hearers, likewise we believe in, for one of the articles of our Christian faith says so. We believe in the communion of saints, and there is so little of this communion of saints in the days in which we live. So few would speak, or like to speak even, about what God has done to them. Many are silent, and many care not to meet each other for fear inwardly that they are not one of them. They have so many doubts. They have so much unbelief. This shuts the mouth. This keeps the people of God from having communion with each other. And when faith is lively, and when love is in exercise, my hearers, then we fear not. Then we may speak freely and have liberty, and we may find union and communion with each other. This is what took place down in the land of Egypt. The people of Israel accepted Moses as their deliverer, as he who God had sent unto them, and therefore they bowed their heads in worship. Next week, the Lord willing, we'll pick up this lesson at this point. God bless the feeble instruction this day to your immortal souls. That's all.